Our readings today call to mind our common calling. Every one of us has an invitation to discipleship. And this is an invitation that we are free to embrace, but it is also an invitation that we can turn from. We can choose to walk away. God gives us that freedom. He has something in mind very special for each and every one of his children. And he gives us the graces and the blessings to discover that and to embrace it. As I've often quoted St. John Newman, he says each one of us has a mission, a role in this life. We might not understand what that role is, what that particular mission is until we leave this world, but it is there. And if we do not embrace our mission, if I don't embrace my mission, it's going to go unfilled. In the theodrama that Bishop Robert Barron often writes about, our lives are like a play that is written by God. And it is a play that began at the dawn of time, before creation, when there was nothing but a void. And God says, let there be light. And this drama continues. And when in the fullness of time, he sent his only son, the drama continued. From Adam and Eve, all of the prophets, the kings, the apostles, Mary, Christ, to the popes, the bishops, priests, religious, to all of the married faithful throughout the history of time, to all the single people throughout the history of time, God has a role and an invitation for each and every one of us. In his divine authority and in his divine wisdom, he knows what we are going to choose. But that does not impede upon the fact that we are free to choose it. God will not come and kick the doors down. He has an invitation, and he gives us the grace to understand, the grace to accept that invitation. He gave the grace to be faithful to Eve, and we know what she did. He gave the grace to be faithful to Mary, and we know what she did. And he gave the grace to be faithful to Isaiah. We read about that in our first reading. Isaiah has this vision of heaven. Seated on a lofty throne, he hears the angels calling out, "Holy, holy, holy." We mimic that song every time before the Eucharistic prayer. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That is the source of the Sanctus that we sing, joining with the choirs of heaven. But this vision for Isaiah was so powerful, so overwhelming, and he realized how unworthy he was, and he says, "Woe unto me, for I am doomed." Very similar to Peter's reaction today in our gospel. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But God sees into the heart. He sees what can be. And he sends an angel to go to the altar to take a burning ember with the tongs and bring it and to touch it to Isaiah's lips. "Now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged." And Isaiah now hears God's invitation. Whom will we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah, filled with God's grace, stands, "Here I am, Lord, send me." What he could not accomplish on his own, he is more than willing to accomplish with God's grace, with God's strength within him. We see a similar story in our gospel. This is not an out-of-body experience like it was for Isaiah. This is a very real, very concrete experience that the disciples had. Standing by Lake Gennesaret, Lake Galilee, it's the same lake, were these fishermen. It was a very rich body of water. Many, many people earned their livings from those waters. And the best time to fish Lake Galilee is at night. These fishermen had returned from a whole night's work and had caught nothing. That meant they would go hungry that day. It meant that their employees would go without that day. Their families would go without. But they were still at work and they were preparing for the next day. They were mending their nets. They were laying them out, drying them, getting ready. Have you ever finished an overtime shift when things just didn't go right all day long? You just want to be done. You want to go home, maybe grab a bite to eat, grab a beer, get a bottle of wine, something. You just want to put that day behind you, knowing that you can start over the next day, but I just want to be finished with this day. And that's the mood of these fishermen. And when we're in that mood, we don't want interruptions. But they're in that mood, getting ready for the next day, and here comes this itinerant preacher. They knew Christ. Remember in the first reading from Luke that we had probably 3 weeks ago? Luke says, I laid out his gospel in order, in sequence. And so they had met Christ when he was baptized by John in the Jordan. They had been with Christ when he was at Cana in Galilee. They'd seen the miracle of water into wine. And now they are here today. And here comes Christ interrupting their work. And he gets into Simon's boat. He has to be shoved out so he's not crushed. And he sits down and teaches. And when he's finished, he says to Simon, put out into the deep for a catch. Simon turns to him and says, Master, another term for rabbi, we have worked all night. It's the best time to fish. There is nothing being caught today. But at your word, I will lower the nets. And he is probably looking with disdain on all of these people. Didn't they have jobs to do? Didn't they have somewhere to go other than wasting a day walking around with this itinerant preacher? But then in humility, he does as instructed. Not out of conviction, but out of respect for Jesus. And the catch is overwhelming. Like that water that was turned into wine, God will not be outdone in generosity. Their nets are tearing. They call to their partners to bring the other boat. And both are filled to the point of sinking. It is no longer now Simon, but it is Simon Peter who falls at the feet of Jesus. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. So similar to that response of Isaiah. Simon Peter knew full well his limitations, his unworthiness. And Jesus replies, do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching men. And now Peter and his partners enter into this new life. They don't know what's going to come down the road, but they know who they want to be with when it comes. And they are no longer following the Lord simply out of respect. Now they are following him out of conviction of the heart. We find the same sense of unworthiness in St. Paul. But we also find that same sense of conviction. Seemingly contradictory things in our lives. Qualities. But it can only comes when we truly know our unworthiness that we can truly fulfill our mission. St. Paul says, I am the least of the disciples, not worthy of the name. But God's grace changed him. It invites him into service as an apostle. And in his gratitude, Paul outworks all of the other disciples, not boasting on his own power, but the grace of God that is at work within me. So why does God choose the unworthy? I think it's so that we can learn that it is not about me. It's not about my abilities. It's not about my project. It's about God's project. It is about God being at work within us. And that can be a very liberating experience because we know that we're no longer going to be judged on human standards alone. It's not about human successes or human failures. It is about seeing things in God's eyes. It is about being faithful. When God enters into our lives with this invitation to serve, whether it's as a husband, a wife, a parent, a religious, a single person in the world, he enters into the ordinariness, the everyday aspects of our lives. He doesn't wait for perfection. He doesn't demand a certain level of education before we're called. He calls us at all stages of life, when we're young, when we're middle-aged, when we're old. And his invitation is there for every one of us today. God himself took flesh as a little boy, as a baby. He didn't come perfected as a man. He grew into what he would become. And he invites us to grow into what he desires for us. I have a priest friend who once was asked, when did you decide you wanted to be a priest? After thinking about it, he said, about 5 years after my ordination. But isn't that the same with every one of our vocations? Yes, you decided you wanted to be married before the marriage. But when did you decide that you wanted to be married? Yes, you decided you wanted children. But when did you decide that you wanted to be a mom or a dad to this particular child? I think a lot of times it's not right away. We get caught up in the emotions, we get caught up in the sentimentality, and those are beautiful things, and we need those things. Otherwise, probably not going to be any parents or priests or anything else in the world. We need these experiences. But it's usually after we've had these experiences, after we've been through the ringer, that we come to a point where I desire to be. You know, I think with my parents at least, they desired to have these children. And after we hit about 3 years old, 4 years old, they thought, yeah, this one might work. After we hit about 14 years old, we send this one back. That happens for all of us. And then thanks be to God, in another 10, 15 years, they decide that we're okay again. We are all called into this witness of faithfulness, called to be disciples, to proclaim the message of Christ's baptism, or Christ's passion, his death and his resurrection into the world. And whether it is a call like Isaiah or Peter, whether it is within an out-of-body experience, whether it is in the daily mundaneness of our life, whether it is like the millions of faithful people throughout the world, throughout time, hearing that invitation matters. Responding to that invitation in faithfulness matters. The success of the theodrama depends on it. Our very own salvation depends on it.
The Knights of Columbus will serve coffee and rolls after the 10 o'clock a.m. Mass in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's tomorrow and today. Bingo will be held this Monday at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. The Finance Council will meet this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. Wednesday evening at 5:30, Education Commission meets at St. Gabe's.
And with the Knights of Columbus, it's one of their missions is charity and fellowship. And so you don't have to be a knight. Please come join us. Eat their donuts, drink their coffee.